UFJ モルガンスタンレー証券の田中です。
My name is, 高中 of, 三菱 UFJ モルガンスタンレー。Can you hear me? There are three questions that I'd like to ask. Let me go over them one by one. First, in regard to the pre-gap results, in regard to the situation in Japan, now you mentioned about the emergency state. I believe that things were quite tough last year as well.So is that really true? That's my question. And listening to your explanation, in regard to the number of people going out, there was the impact of the large stores closed. And so I'd like to increase my understanding there. And also about the situation in the enterprise business. And also in regard to North America,Was there some major deal? It's quite a strong result. And can you continue to maintain this? Those are the two main points that I'd like to ask about. First of all, let me answer about North America. In regard to North America, it's not just because of one deal. Rather, there has been major growth in SaaS.And we have seen the greatest growth in North America in regards to SaaS. And that does not just mean the United States. There are other countries as well. And we have seen, we believe that we'll continue to have positive growth. So it's not just one deal that made this result. As for Japan, in regard to the consumer market, there were stores that were closed. And so therefore,we were lower than expectations in regard to the results at stores. As for the commercial market, I talked about this, but for network security, there's deep discovery. And last year, for local governments, for networks, there was a business activity there, but this was not found in Q2 this year.So that was a negative impact, but that's not a negative thing overall. There's a renewal of that business in that area. And as for big deals, there has been some delay. It hasn't disappeared. It just means that because of the state of emergency, there has been some restraint and some efforts have been postponed.As for Q1 and Q2, in the first half, there's no problem. But for Q3 and Q4, we don't believe that there are any major problems. We believe that we'll see steady progression in this area. And also, to add to that, last year, we just started this kind of workflow. And so there was some increases.The demand was now we're seeing a decrease in the number of PC sales this year compared to the previous year. And so those are the kind of factors that impacted things. Thank you. And I'd like to confirm with Mr. Omikawa about the network segregation and the local governments. There are various types of efforts to beef up security.And there's activity there this year as well. What's the situation there? We're working hard on this. And for the government area, including the digital agency, how procurement will be carried out, there's various activity there. And so we want to do a solid job of looking at this from different angles. And as you say,As a government business, there's going to be a major investment made by the government, and we would definitely want to get into that business. To confirm, is this going to be posted as part of the enterprise results when you deal with public offices such as government offices? Yes, it will be part of the enterprise business. The second point that I'd like to ask about, I'd like to confirm. Now, this was mentioned on page 15 in regards to subscription ARR in Mr. Negi's presentation. And also, there was the subscription mentioned on the fourth slide shown by Eva. And I understand about this, but there's also a major aspect of the consumers. And so I appreciate it if you could summarize your thoughts on this. For the in regard to the definition of subscription for the consumer market, we have a we're looking at all consumers for a subscription basis, and likewise for enterprises as well. About 30% are represented by SaaS in the case of the enterprise market. I see. I understand now. And the final question. You mentioned that the increase, there has been increase in the wages. And in regard to the increase in the wages, and also in regard to the variable compensation, well, in regard to what it is linked to, one is pre-gap results. If the pre-gap results increase, then that variable element increases. And also, previously, until 2-3 years ago, this has been there had been a linkage to the maintenance, but now we have the SaaS, and there's linkage to compensation in regard to the SaaS business. So we're looking at the increase of ARR and agents, and we have linkage to those elements. And so it was a 60% growth for SaaS, and for ARR, 30% increase. And so the compensation changes accordingly. And so overall, you may be saying that this is not being looked at, but for the employees, we're looking at their strategic focus and to focus on priority areas. We, on a short-term basis, this may impact profits, but we believe that this is something that is an investment for the future. So I thought that variable compensation refers to maintenance, but it's actually wage compensation. Yes. Yes, it's looking at the pre-gap and the total cost, but you're making a shift to this. In that sense, there are three components. There's the profits that we cannot ignore, but also the profits may not grow, but there's also the SaaS, and there may be ARR growth, and it's possible that that compensation will be paid based on that as well. I see, I understand. Please let me add to that. In regard to the bonuses mentioned, this becomes available in Q3 and Q2 and Q4. And this is not issued in Q3, so this will go down. I see. Thank you for the explanation. I understand. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much. I would like to unmute the next person's microphone. Please state your name and affiliation before asking the question. Please begin your question. I think the microphone is still on mute. Can you hear me? Yes, now we can hear you. Thank you. Follow up on questions by Tanaka-san. Consumer pre-gap in Japan. In the last few years, I think the biggest driver behind your performance was Japanese consumer in terms of profit. And the pre-gap number is the negative this time around, so I would like to ask some questions about this. State of emergency means that the GMS sales, large store sales, is declining. And I don't know why the closure of the shops have such big impact. And also the mobile phone stores are growing very fast. So I'm wondering if there is any special factor. I think for Japan and for consumer market, usually there is some special factor, extraordinary factor. So I just wanted to know. And from the second quarter, Japanese consumer business is growing very fast. Do you think that the growth is decelerating or flattening? Thank you for your question. As for the consumer business, as I mentioned before, the duration of closure of the stores and also the shortening of the operating hours was more severe than we had expected. So face-to-face opportunities were reduced. And also the PC shipment volume compared to the Q2 of last year, this is minus 30% according to this data. There was a EOS of Windows 7 last year, which meant a lot of replacement. But in the second quarter for this year, it didn't happen. So simultaneous purchase or shipment with a PC did not really happen as much. But in the mobile segment, we are making up for that difference. Number of users has not really declined. We also have more of a comprehensive service contract, which is being prepared, and we have already started trials for this. So comprehensive service means that we can enclose the customers, and we are getting ready for this initiative. In the second half, we are not pessimistic at all in Japan. We expect things going according to plan, and we should be able to provide more service values, and the revenue per customer should increase. At the global level, as I mentioned before, well, we are trying new things for the US consumers, and we're beginning to see the benefit of that. We also see an increase in the number of new users. So I think this is a positive trend for the US market as well. I see. So the user base is not shrinking. And in terms of cost gap, deceleration should not happen in the second half, and you should be able to achieve the plan. Is that the right interpretation? Yes, thank you. My second question is about the pre-gap increase in North America. I believe that this is a very positive thing for you. I just wanted to understand how this happened. Do you think this is the benefit of the cloud? Or is it because the negative number coming from tipping point shrunk? Post-gap revenue, when can we expect to see a growth in that particular area? Can you please share some information? Negative impact of tipping point, rather than that, growth in subscription business has contributed much more. So within, it's not just one quarter. We believe that the growth will continue quarter by quarter.
May I add a little bit to that?
Thank you. Yes, please.
Actually, I would say the Americans' growth is the previous three quarter is they were suffering because of they are most aggressive in transforming the revenue to subscription base. As you can see, the subscription base, the there's no big deal or big portion get booked when you do the subscription. It's just that so the overall revenue chunk is smaller. And this quarter is the quarter that we finally overcome this transformation, where the subscription has exceeded the big deal or the perpetual license type of revenue. That's why in US, we finally get to this. It's not one time, it's several quarters piling up with all this subscription ARR that make the US finally cross I call it the that's intersection where we finally close it. And that's why we are confident that US will continue to grow because of this subscription base.
Thank you for your explanation. Post-gap sales, excluding exchange impact, the growth in revenue is not that high, but you expect the growth to accelerate. Maybe not in the third quarter, but over long term, you expect that to accelerate. Is that the right interpretation? Well, in the end, there's going to be a link. So pre-gap sales may increase and then post-gap revenue will also increase. Thank you. This is a technical question, but the gain on sales of marketable securities, China-related companies disposal, is that related or not related? And also, gain on sales of this China-related matter, do you expect that gain to come in within this fiscal year? I think this is going to be a big impact. And there's going to be discussion about how to provide dividends from this. There is no gain on sales of this China business because this was an investment made into the US and this was a venture fund related profit. And therefore, it's not a direct transaction by us. And China JV equity divestiture. I cannot really say until the money actually comes in. We want things to go according to plan. We expect that, but we are not disclosing any information, but because there are risks. So we have not really included that in our P&L yet. We want this to take place before the end of the fiscal year, but we cannot be 100% confident yet. Understand. Thank you very much. That's all from me.
Thank you very much for your questions. And please be sure to identify your name and affiliation. We did not hear. My name is Kikuchi of SMBC Nikko Securities. Thank you very much. And we'd like to move on to the next person. If you're unmuted, please give us your question. Once you are unmuted. My name is Hori of Mizuho Securities. There are two questions I'd like to ask. First, in regard to pre-gap, you explained about North America and Japan, but for Europe and for APAC and Mid East, the numbers are strong. So how should we perceive this? For EU and APAC, there were large deals. That was the impression I had. But for the second quarter, what are the factors for the strong results? And what about continuity of such results? Could you give us the background for the pre-gap numbers? Thank you. In regard to why Europe was like this, as the change, there was the positive element of North America and the negative element of Japan that we focus upon, but we didn't ignore. We have very good results for EU, but it's not just one country. There's, for example, good results in Germany or weak results in Spain. There are individual details, but overall, we have the platform approach, and we have Cloud One, Vision One, and Apex One approach, and we have been able to have good growth in sales there. I see. Then it's not a major big deal, but rather, yes, that's right, as we explained. Second question, I'd like to ask about the increase in headcount. You haven't increased that much in the second quarter. It seems like the increase has stabilized. And you mentioned about the wish to increase by 400 the headcount at the beginning of the fiscal year, but it seems to be a slow pace on this. And what's going to be the situation there? Is it difficult to recruit people, or is it difficult to find qualified people, or are there other factors at work for the increase in headcount? Although you haven't been able to achieve the recruitment plans, there's an increase. So in regard to recruitment plans, were there issues? Have you been reviewing what you should do about headcount increase? So is it a natural result or is it a controlled result that we see in headcount? If you could comment on that, that would be appreciated. Well, we believe that we have seen steady progression. There are people who have left, and we recruit to replace them. And it's a very hard market right now. It's not easy to recruit people. So in that sense, we have this situation on wages. And if we're successful, people target. And our churn rate was low last year because of the environment. But since this year, the churn rate has increased. And so to have a net increase, we have to make even more efforts. There are open jobs of 400 or more. And it's not easy to find people qualified for those posts. So we want to increase the headcount, especially to strengthen sales efforts. And as Eva's presentation mentioned, it's not the conventional methods, but the new methods that we're pursuing. And so we'd like to recruit such people to refresh our efforts. I see. Then there is some headhunting by other companies. But when it comes to new recruits, it's not a sudden decrease in the recruiting efforts. Not at all. And there's also the situation of demand, supply and demand in the market. And the kind of people we want to recruit is not that easy to find. You mentioned about the strengths in pre-gap. And this seems to be likely to continue. But if you continue to recruit, then you'll be able to post quite a large profit next fiscal year. But at any rate, you want to increase the headcount if you can find the qualified people. Yes, I understand. Yes, that's all the questions I have.
May I use this chart to answer this question? Which is, you can see, actually, we were kind of celebrating because over my year in Trend Micro, 33 years, this is the number one market share in endpoint, corporate endpoint market share. We finally achieved that. We overcome all these competitors, and now we are number one corporate in market share. But as you can see, our competitors changed from McAfee, Symantec to CrowdStrike to Sentinel and the other newcomer. And their valuation, I must say, is just going out of roof. It's just impossible. And I must admit, when you say the recruitment is hard, when it's against such a valuation of those startups, it is hard for us to offer the stock option to recruit people. So I guess that's one of the problem that, frankly, we are facing. Our competitors are changing, and we are very glad that now we are number one in this endpoint security market. But that actually make our employee being targeted by all those startup companies and trying to recruit from Trend Micro.
はい、ありがとうございます。
Thank you very much.
はい、ご質問ありがとうございました。
Thank you very much. I would like to unmute the next person's microphone. Please state your name and affiliation before stating your question.
Watanabe, Mitsui Sumitomo, DS Asset.
Can you hear my voice? Yes, we can hear you. You responded to Mr. Tanaka's questions earlier. I want some clarification about the salary increase. pre-gap, and also now we're shifting to SaaS. Every quarter, you explained this in the past about pre-gap. So Q2 and Q4, yes, there's a compensation and not in other quarters. I hear this for the first time. Is it the same for pre-gap and SaaS? Or for SaaS only, it's every 6 months? And which one had a bigger impact for this increase this time? In the first quarter, if you want to allocate this, maybe some of the amount should be allocated to the first quarter, but it's all bunched up in the second quarter. Is that why the number is very high? I have another related question. If you look at operating income, I think 10% growth is seen in Europe on top-line basis, which is very positive. But Japan and Europe, sales increase but reduced profit. And the situation is different in the US. So I want to ask about Europe and Japan. In Japan, the business is quite big, so the decline in profit looks bigger. But can you explain these geographical differences? Because all the comments that you have provided to us so far should be the same for every region. Why are there such big differences between different regions? Thank you. With regard to the first question, pre-gap linked items, there are two. One, commission for sales. This is paid every quarter. And this is pre-gap. And basically gross sales, very close to pre-gap. Depending on the quarter, pre-gap may grow, but post-gap may not grow. In this case, we have a higher sales commission. And then we have a bonus for employees every 6 months. And the bonus payment is based on, well, pre-gap operating income increase was used as an index before, but now we believe that employees should be focused on SaaS, so SaaS agent and ARR growth. Now we use these indices as well, and this is paid every 6 months. Does this answer your first question? Yes, that's very clear. Thank you. Can you talk about the breakdown? Is it possible? The breakdown is not very clear. If you combine the two, you can explain most of the variable portion. In the second quarter, profit was down, and on the top line level, it was very strong, even with the exchange impact. So I don't think you're making an adjustment accounting-wise, but maybe you can comment about this. Maybe Habara-san can do the follow-up on another day, but I hope that we can get some more information. It doesn't have to be today. It's not such a long story, so let me just share that with you. Accounting-wise, we cannot really even it out across the quarters. So the measurement is first half versus the second half. And we cannot really provide allowance for something that we may or may not pay. So we cannot really flatten out or even out the payment, although we want to. So the bonus is paid for the first half and second half, and then pre-gap based the profit, and also the AR performance and SaaS performance are looked at. Rather than pre-gap base, SaaS growth explains more of the bonus payment this time around. I see. So, year-on-year basis, if we look at every 6 months, it's more or less even. That's correct. The second question, maybe Habara-san can answer part of this, but tax-wise, how do we post profit? In the past, all the IP was owned by Japan. So it all came to Japan, and the profitability looked very high in Japan. But several years ago, the situation was different. All the four regions were split. Depending on where the profit was incurred, we paid the taxes. So because of this impact, sometimes the numbers fluctuate. So which one's receiving more dividends than others? These are just numbers. They don't really tell you the actual situation of all the regions. Habara-san, can you add? Yes, that's right. And segment profitability, last year versus this year, the profitability has not really changed very much. In terms of absolute amount, maybe there's a difference, and that's why you're asking the question. But the profitability has not really changed, which means that nothing abnormal is happening. So I feel confident. Now, business in each region, they're not really standalone businesses, as Negi-san has explained. Development is taking place in Taiwan. Support is provided by Philippines, for example. And these are internal trading, so internal trading within the organization. So we have to really think about the business structure that puts the right thing in the right place. And we have to look at the legal entity. And Japan, US, and Europe, we are looking at profitability at a different entity level. Consumer and enterprise may be different, but I don't think there's a big difference between different regions. So consolidated operating income is something that we look at. And the profitability at the region level is not really very meaningful for us to look at. I see. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the question. Now we'll unmute the next person. Please identify your name and affiliation and then ask your question.
Tanaka
of Goldman Sachs Securities. Can you hear me? Yes. Thank you. There are two quick questions that I'd like to ask. First, this is in regard to the Japanese market and the pre-gap situation. I'd like to ask Mr. Omikawa. You mentioned that pre-gap results were weak. It's mainly due to the consumer market. But for the enterprise market, for the market other than the local governments, for the large enterprise and the SMEs, what is happening in regard to investments? Looking at the materials, it says that investments in cloud are going well in the SME. So this seems to be different from the pre-gap results. What's the weakness of the pre-gap results in the enterprise market due to? And also, after the second quarter, for the third quarter onwards, is there going to be an early recovery from this situation? That's the first question I'd like to ask. Thank you for the question. First, in regard to the commercial corporate market, there was the matter of the local government as well as in the central government. Major deals compared to last year were not possible to get. So, in the central government group, they were not able to achieve the goals. But it doesn't mean that the deals disappeared. Rather, we believe that we can recover the situation. So, as for the very large enterprise area, in regard to large deals that we had anticipated, there has been some postponement of plans. So in Q2, we were not able to achieve results that we wanted. And for the SMB market, we have been able to achieve our goals. And there's also a blind spot. Between the SMB and the large enterprises, there's a middle segment. And frankly speaking, there are more that we should have achieved there. We're approaching this market more, but there's a lack of people in charge, and also the SAP partners are not able to cover this area. So in the middle segment, we believe that we should do more, and we are trying to approach this market, but we have not been able to generate results yet. Those are the main points for the enterprise market. And for the second half onwards, we'll do a solid job on the central government to watch what the situation is. So we don't believe there are any problems there. And for the large enterprises where we have high touch sales, we'll, for the budgets and so on, we're looking at the various drivers and we believe that we can continue well there. As for SMBs, We have the partner model, and we are seeing steady growth there. And we're looking with the NTT West and NTT East and Rico. And also there's the middle segment. And there's also the new customers that we have not been able to be in contact yet. And we want the migration from Symantec or McAfee users. And in certain areas, we've started the replacement. So for the commercial market, we want to get the market from Symantec or McAfee. And there's also the middle segment where we have not been able to penetrate fully. We have started a new approach, and we want to recover there. We want to cover the market with such efforts. One point I'd like to confirm. Then for this quarter's weak results, relatively speaking, this is because of the postponement of the large deals on the enterprise market. And also there was the impact of COVID-19. But for the large deals for large corporations, in the second half, you should be able to get the business. From the salespeople, that's the report we've been getting. I see. Thank you very much. Now, the second question, Mr. Negi, in regard to North America, I'd like to follow up on the previous question to this. For this quarter, you mentioned about the 11% growth, and it's mainly in the subscriptions. But if you divide this between software and hardware, what is the situation that you see? In other words, there was the hardware element that was a negative factor, but have you been able to be able to do a better job here, or is it mainly due to the software area? So if you could divide between the software and the hardware, could you tell us about your prospects for the future? Well, for the hardware, as you mentioned, there was a tipping point, and there was changes taking place, and we're seeing flat results in the hardware. Then for the future, do you believe that this trend will continue? For this year, it will continue. For the case of tipping point, there's going to be a refresh cycle that will come up somewhere. But for 2021 and 2022, this may not come. But this is related to the previous presentation. But in regard to tipping point, it's not a mature market, but rather, for IDS, there are cases that hardware will be coming into the picture in that area. I see. For the follow-up on the American business strategy, you've seen an improvement in North America, and also the overseas companies we're seeing very good results, and there seems to be overall growth in the market from the various corporations in North America. So perhaps things have not peaked out. And so looking at the future, when it comes to a subscription model, could you talk about the North America business strategy from here on? For the strategy, it's not just for North America, but for the entire world. We're moving forward with the new methods of sales, and we're looking at the new procurement trends. And we have a large result in the United States. But for the strategy, it's going to be the same for all regions. And as Eva has mentioned, would you like to talk about the U.S. strategy, Eva?
Okay. Eva, if you want to say, Eva, the question is that is there anything new that we are doing in the U.S.? My answer was that it's the same as in other regions, except that it's happening in the U.S. before. But if you want to add anything more to that.
I think mainly in U.S. Is where we want to have more aggressive hiring, because we need to have bigger us. We see the big opportunity, but as I explained, in U.S. we encounter all these new startup aggressive hiring using their crazy valuation, which is hard for us to compete. That's the different situation. Our strategy overall is all the same, transforming to a cybersecurity platform company, and we see it successful in Europe, in APAC, and Japan just started. Japan's SaaS movement is slower than the other region. And I'd like to explain a little bit, like Omigawa-san mentioned. Last year, we do have a very big deal from the central government, which is Deep Discovery, which is an appliances business. That shows what is the revenue up and down when you are relying on that type of appliances, hardware, big deal sales. And in US, we went through that with both Tipping Point, and now our subscription already overcome that that type of Tipping Point, big deal type of fluctuation. So I think there's no difference. We just, the whole company, we need to focus on the subscription business. And I would say Japan is the next that need to go through this transformation.
よくわかりました。ありがとうございました。
I understand very well. Thank you. And also for the growth in the market share. America is the biggest market, and so therefore, we have to do more there. And I would like to do our best there.
ありがとうございます。
I see. Thank you very much.
はい、ご質問ありがとうございました。では次の
方の
マイクのミュートを解除いたしますので。
I would like to unmute the next person. Please state your name and affiliation first.
はい、大和証券の上野でございます。音声クリアですか
?I'm Ueno with Daiwa Securities. Can you hear my voice? Yes, it's very clear. I know there's not enough time, so I'll keep it simple. Incentive and bonus. It's very difficult for us to estimate.For the third and fourth quarter, well, 20% increase in profit in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, maybe flat or weak increase in profit. Can we expect that in a similar way how it happened in the first and second quarters? I think this is a question addressed to Habara-san. I'm sorry, I could not really analyze everything, but the Q3...hurdles should be quite low. I can say that. So Q3, a profit increase trend, I think that can be expected, yes. But Q4, as far as Q4 is concerned, I think we have provided all the explanation that we can from the management team. But in terms of one-off factors, well, we did not have many of those in the second quarter.In other words, we now have a real good, strong performance in US and in Europe, which does not depend on one-off factors. So we don't expect sudden growth in Q2 and then following decline. We expect continuous growth. I know that my answer is very abstract, but that's my way of thinking. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I probably be more frank. We need to be aggressive in hiring. We need to be aggressive in acquiring new customer, including the SaaS trial customer. One of our incentive for the employee is the increase of SaaS deployment incidents, which improves the trial customer trying our product.That's the new way of sales. So if we are aggressive in those new customer acquisition, we will increase our cloud cost, cloud SaaS cost, and also we will increase our commission. But that is all our strategy of gaining the strength in the cloud, in the SaaS platform strategy. So please be understand that we are competing.With a bunch of startups that don't even have any profit. And the valuation is like hundreds times of Trend Micro's. And to request Trend Micro to grow, which is our intention, we we think the opportunity is too good to miss, and we need to be aggressive in growth. And therefore, I must say, profit might be sacrificed if we see the aggressive growth is a better route for our strategy.
はい、ありがとうございます。最後の質問です。
Thank you. My last question. So, the PER for the startups is maybe 100 times more. Subscriber number and also ARPU and churn rate. Maybe the, well, sometimes investors, analysts request for this kind of information, but we cannot really see that. Maybe we can refer to page 13 and 15, subscription customer account. And then we, if we divide this by ARR on the page 15, would that be like an annual ARPU? If we can represent, we can show this to the West Coast investor, they can look at your stock price from a brand new perspective. Is it possible to disclose such information? As you mentioned, you can calculate that from the numbers disclosed. So I don't think we need to add another disclosure from our side. But ARPU is from the mobile market. And we are assuming that the size of the customer is basically the same, but in our case, it's very different. We have big customers, big deals, and also consumer subscription, small companies with only 5 employees. So what is the point of having the average number? And that is why we're disclosing ARR, because you can see the growth in ARR and also SaaS agent growth. You can see that now. You can look at many different perspectives. If you try to combine everything into one number, maybe it will push up the share price for the short term, but it will lead to misunderstanding. So we are providing multiple perspectives. Analysts and investors, they communicate in the end. So we are hoping, as Eva said, and also I communicate with many investors, and we have to compete against these companies, like we mentioned, but we don't want to bring down the dividends. But we cannot really sustain both, maybe, I don't know. So we are saying today, and also I've said this before, in the SaaS market, customer acquisition is important. And also ARR was not disclosed before, but now we're disclosing ARR to explain the business status. But we are not planning to disclose everything that other companies do, because we doubt that these numbers are actually reliable. I would like to add, I know that I'm not the part of the management, maybe this is not my place to say, but so if a PR is 100 times or EBITDA is much higher than us, in order for us to achieve that level, we need to do certain disclosures. But we believe that ARR is a number that explains the current status of Trend Micro. We're not doing this in order to push up the share price. That is not the purpose. So in the current situation, we use this KPI. But if we find another KPI that explains the situation better, of course, we will disclose that. But we're not really thinking to please the investors and to increase the valuation. That's not the sequence. That's not the right sequence of thinking. That's very clear. I really understand that. I think it's very difficult to separate ARPU and the subscriber account, but OBC and free, they have, for example, a threefold difference in the customer base, but still, they are being asked to disclose these numbers. So I just wanted to understand your way of thinking about the KPIs. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions? Then we'll unmute the next person. So please identify your name and affiliation. This is Hiroko Sato of Eris Securities. Jeffrey's securities. Now, I'd like to ask about where you are being focused upon and for selling and marketing and round cut and the admin costs and wages and stock options and so on, and we'll see increases on a year-over-year basis. So rather than talk about the margins, SaaS and ARR, or the growth in net sales and so on, is going to be focused upon. So should we focus on increase in net sales from here onwards? Yes. At first, we want to have the customers use products, and we're providing it in various ways, and we want to have utilization, even if it's a free trial. And then after that, once it is deployed, then we'll be able to tie this to sales. So it's important. Next, the important thing is to link this to net sales, and then next to link this to profits. But as already mentioned, for SaaS, it's not because it's cool that we're pursuing this. Rather, we'll be able to get a better picture of the customer's environment, and so therefore we want to deliver the value to the customer as long as we were paid for it, and we want to have further utilization, and once it is used, and we want to make it easier for them to order more. So you're making adjustments over the past year, and although profit rates are going down, it may be interpreted that you're not actively carrying out sales. So we should look at the KPIs. Well, we are focusing on the disclosure of KPIs that will give you a better picture of what is happening. That's the point that I wanted to understand. Thank you.